Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to speak with Jessica Krause. She's an actress, a model, a cosplayer, I never can say that right, writer, and a diligent mother. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I know it's costume player, but for some reason I say cosplayer. I don't know if it's cos or cos. How do you pronounce it?
Cosplayer.
Cosplayer. Okay, like costume. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, costume and player all crammed together.
Why don't you tell the audience a little about yourself and your background?
Well, let's see. Yeah, I'm an actress. I model. I do cosplay. I write. Yeah, I'm a mom to a wonderful 5-year-old little boy. He just turned 5 on Sunday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he's spoiled rotten. I'm sitting here looking at his pile of presents that he got. And, yeah, I have my bachelor's degree in theater. And, yeah, that's pretty much my whole life is my son and entertaining.
I understand. How did you get into cosplay, and do you have a particular favorite that you like to do, or do you just go with the flow, or do you get asked to do a certain type of performance?
Kind of a mix of all the above. My favorite cosplay is Xena, Warrior Princess.
Yay!
Just because, yeah.
Woohoo!
Nobody could have predicted I was going to say that. Nobody.
No, never.
I just, you know, I always loved the show from when it first aired, and she's just my favorite character, and she's so much fun to just dress up and be. Like, who wouldn't want to be Xena for a day?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, I went to a Xena convention and kind of jokingly dressed as Xena. Like, I put on just something I already had in the house, like just a black coat, and said, "Look, I'm Xena." And, you know, it was one of those ones where if you squint your eyes and turn your head to the side and I tell you who I'm supposed to be, you go, "Oh, yeah, okay. All right, I see that." And it kind of progressed from there to what it is now.
Well, one thing people that don't wear Xena know is that she had a lot of really amazing costumes. It wasn't just the classic Xena costume. I mean, she had some absolutely to die for costumes, like the one she wore when she was in Rome, went to Rome when she first met Caesar, that red one.
Oh, yes.
I mean... Do you just dress as the classic, or do you use other of her costumes?
If I had my way, I would own every single one of her costumes that she ever wore, because they're all amazing.
Yeah.
I have the classic one because it was made for me by Todd's Costumes, and it's an immaculate costume. I actually walked up to Lucy one time wearing it, and she looked at me and went, "Is that mine?" And I went, "No, it's mine, but thank you." Like, she thought it was one of hers. I don't know how she thought I got it. I guess maybe I broke into the Smithsonian and took it or something.
No, I think she auctioned one for her charity.
Yeah. So that was a huge, well, not necessarily to me because I didn't make it, but yeah, that was a huge compliment to Todd's Costumes because his are just amazing. So that's why I have that one.
Your picture of it is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, he's amazing, and he does amazing work. And if I had the money, I would just hire him to make every single costume I ever wore, because his work is just immaculate. And I've attempted to make one or two other of Xena's costumes, but I did them a couple of years ago, and I feel like I've gotten a little bit better in my sewing and crafting skills since then. So maybe I'll try again to make some of the other outfits and make them look a little bit better, so I don't have to walk around with a sign that says, "This is what I'm supposed to be."
Yeah, I mean, you know, going to a Xena convention, you see the people in these costumes, and you're like, and you know that some of them do it themselves, and you're just like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could work for one of the studios. They're so good. The costumes are so gorgeous.
Exactly.
You have some other characters. I'm sure you'd like to talk about them too, but I have a large Xena audience, so that's why I'm kind of focusing on Xena, because I'm a fan too. Choosing which costume you're going to wear to a convention, is it based on what convention you're going to, or how do you make the decision which costume you're going to wear?
Well, Xena comes with me to every single convention that I do because she's my favorite, and I would feel, I did attend one convention where I didn't bring her, and I felt just wrong the entire time I was there. Like, I kept wanting to go back to my hotel and put it on, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even bring it.
Oh.
So she always comes, because somebody told me one time, they're like, she's your spirit cosplay, and I would have to agree, just because I love her so much, so... She's definitely my favorite. And the other ones are just kind of based on what luggage room I have, because I do Maleficent, and she takes up a lot of room because the gown is massive. Yes, the gown is massive. The hat takes up a lot of room because it can't be squished. So sometimes I just put it on my head and look insane, wandering around in jeans, a T-shirt, and a Maleficent hat, because, you know, that makes sense. So, I mean, I'm working on a budget, as a lot of people are. So, you know, I am on public transportation a lot of times. So a lot of times you can find Xena just chilling on the subway wearing a poncho for no reason because it's raining, or, you know, wandering around in sneakers and my Maleficent horns because I didn't have a bag to put the hat in. It's just,
do you have a convention that you're going to be going to?
The next big one I have is AwesomeCon in Washington, D.C., but I'll probably be hitting a few smaller ones before that. I just haven't cemented them yet, so I'm not sure exactly which ones. But AwesomeCon is definitely happening.
Do you go all over the country, or do you just go near yourself, or how do you, I mean, you were saying you're on a budget, so how do you make your choices of where you go?
Well, I tend to bebop all over the place. My first conventions were in California, because that's where Todd is based. So the costume is mine now because I did enough conventions, but initially it wasn't mine, it was his. So I would fly out to California a couple of times a year and do these conventions with him at his booth, and I kind of worked off the costume, and now it's mine, which is amazing. And so I've done a bunch of, you know, Kamikaze, WonderCon, all that in California. I've done New York Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con, Dragon Con, and then I do ones locally. So,
did you go to the Xena convention in Los Angeles? They went to four different venues. I mean, but did you go to those?
I did. Of course, I wouldn't mention that I've been to that one. Of course, I've been to that one. My first one was in 2012, and I hit every one until the last one. And those were my absolute favorites.
I hit everyone to the last one, too. I was kind of depressed because I spent my money on the second to last one because they said that was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't afford to go to the last one.
Aww. Yeah, I did. I mean, I did make it to the last one. So that was a nice, well-rounded, I guess. I went to, 2012, 13, 14... 50. Yeah, so I got to go to four of them. I wish I could have gone to all of them. I wish I could go back in time to, 1997, I think, was their first one, and just attend them all.
Yeah, I think I started in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a lot of them. But then I'm from Los Angeles, so, of course, I would go to a lot of them.
A little bit easier for you.
It was a lot easier for me, I just drove to it.
Yeah.
I have to do anything.
My first one, I was scared to death. My first one, I had never traveled anywhere by myself before, let alone across the country. And I went by myself. I didn't know anybody. And I was just this scared, shy little, oh, I hope they like me. I hope I make friends. And then I did. And then here we are.
And when you go, do you make friends with the other cosplayers? I mean, I know a few people who do Gabrielle, and there's other people who do other Xenas, and do you guys hang out?
Oh, yeah. That's, to me, the best part of the convention is hanging out with just other people. And, I have this core group of cosplay friends that, you know, we try and all go to the same conventions, and we meet up, and I always inevitably make new friends at every convention I go to. So as I progress through this journey, I get to meet more and more awesome people. And cosplayers are amazingly talented. I mean, the craftsmanship and the artistry that goes into, you know, imagining the characters and then bringing them to life is just staggering. Sometimes I just stand there with my mouth open and just stare at people and go, oh my God, how did you do that?
Oh, there was one girl at one of the conventions who was dressed as Xena, and the outfit she wore, with the black netting, I forgot the name of the episode, where, again, they're in Rome, and she's seducing
Caligula,
yeah. And she wore that.
I made that.
That
was one of the outfits I made, but it was, it's kind of, you know, you have to squint and turn your head, and I have to hold a sign telling you who I am.
But it was gorgeous. It was just stunning. I have great admiration for that. That all of you guys that do that stuff, it's just amazing. Amazing. I want to turn it because we're about halfway through the show. You're an actress and a writer. I'd like to give you a chance to talk a little bit about that. What kind of acting do you do? Theater, movies, TV?
I do a lot of theater. Mainly, you know, there's really fun murder mystery dinner theater stuff.
I love that.
That's a lot of what I do. That pays really well, and it's pretty consecutive work, so that's nice. And I've also done a few short films, just kind of local, you know, low-budget projects that were just fun. And, that's mainly the kind of acting that I do. I used to be a part of this acting troupe, and I was on their board of directors, too, called the Hugh Gregory Gallagher Motivational Theater. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot with disability advocacy and awareness. We would do fundraisers for different groups that work with disabled people. And we would, most of our shows, most of our monologues, our scenes, our plays had something to do with, you know, either advocacy or awareness. And that was a lot of fun. If I could make a living doing that, I would do maybe just that, because that was just rewarding and amazing, and I loved every second of it.
That's really cool. That's really beautiful. But you don't do that anymore?
It's one of those things where, unfortunately, I still, every once in a while, I'll get a phone call, hey, can you come, you know, do this monologue for us, or can you this, or can you that? But I didn't have the time to be on their board anymore. And I travel a lot, which is also an issue. Whenever they needed me to do something, I wasn't. I'm like, oh, I'm in England. I'm sorry, I can't. that was amazing, and that ties into my writing. Because what we tried to do was, because I volunteer worked for about 10 years with kids that had varying disabilities, and if I had to pick one passion in life, I think that would be it, just kind of working with disabled children. And, if you want to make me mad, the fastest way to make me angry is to like make fun of a disabled person or, God forbid, a disabled child. I will go from like zero to Mama Lion so fast.
I would too. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah, but it happens. And you know, for 10 years I worked with these kids, and I would see how they would interact with the world, but I would also see how the world interacts with them, and it's just maddening the way some people act.
Yeah, people are so insensitive.
They are. And so when we were doing these monologues, we were always in search of new material to present to the public. You know, you don't want to do the same scenes and monologues over and over and over again.
Right.
But unfortunately, there's really not a whole lot of material out there that has kind of either people with disabilities as the main characters, or if they are, it's really heavy-handed. Like, it's just, it just hits you over the head with it's more like a boring documentary. Okay, well, we need it to be entertaining or no one's going to watch it. Or it was so over the top that it was offensive.
Yeah.
And we had this core group of writers that we paid to write different scenes and things, and we just weren't getting what we wanted. And I thought about it, and I was like, well, wait a minute. I can write, and I have this life experience. Why don't I put the two together? And I actually wrote a one-act play for our group, and they loved it, so they bought it and copyrighted it, and there we go. So I get to say I'm actually a published writer.
You're a published playwright.
Yeah. So
that
was fun.
That's amazing. That's really beautiful. I mean, when you were talking, I was trying to think of a really famous play, and the only one that I could really think of was Butterflies Are Free. That was the only one I could think of was a disabled person that was the lead.
There's one called The Boys Next Door, and it's a beautiful play. Just because nothing spectacular happens. It's literally just the everyday lives of these four guys who have varying disabilities who live in a group home. And it's just the everydayness of it is just beautiful, because I feel like a lot of people treat people with disabilities differently because they don't understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore are kind of maybe afraid of them, like, oh, I don't want to offend you, or I don't want to do something wrong, so I'm just going to ignore you and not interact with you. So by doing these shows that kind of give you a glimpse into their everyday lives, maybe makes it, you know, a little more familiar, and maybe will make people a little more comfortable with people that they see as different than themselves. Like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll come say hi. Maybe I'll come interact and not stand off to the side and avert my eyes and be afraid because I don't want to do something wrong.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen that. One of my friends has cerebral palsy, and people act strangely. It's like,
mm-hmm.
She's just a normal person. She just happens to have this, but she's a normal person. And just say hi, smile, talk to her like a normal person.
Exactly. This one monologue that I perform all the time, at the very end of it, she says, don't treat me for the things I can't do. Treat me for the things that I can do. And
yeah,
I thought that was a really great quote.
Look at Jerry Jewell. I mean, she's like the best example of somebody who just overcame it and went beyond it. She's such a star,
mm-hmm.
and she's wonderful. That's the way you don't need to be a star to treat them like that, though. They're just
mm-hmm.
treat everybody like that.
Exactly.
This is one question I always ask, because sometimes I'm trying to figure it out for myself. How do you balance between your personal life and all your performing and work and stuff like that? I mean, I know your child is your priority, but it's sometimes hard with your friends and the rest of your family. How do you balance it?
Oh, my. I don't know. I honestly don't. I just kind of muddle through it and hope for the best. You know, I try, you know, like you said, my son comes first, so... You know, I kind of gauge things based on him. I obviously try and spend as much time with him as possible. And if I feel like, I'm not spending enough time with him, or if he's acting like I'm not spending enough time with him, I try and adjust to fix that. But at the same time, you know, got to work. So I, he's pretty good at understanding. You know, sometimes he'll, mommy, don't go to work, stay home with me. And I explain to him, like, well, honey, if you want to go do fun things, mommy has to go to work. And then he goes, okay, fine. So he's like, okay, you can buy me things. That's fine.
Yeah, so you can get me toys.
Right, exactly. He's pretty easy to explain things to. But I don't know, I try and carve out time for everything and not put all my focus in one area and just try the best I can.
How does he react to mommy and all the different costumes?
I'm taking advantage of that while I can. Right now I'm the cool mom, and I know very soon I'm going to be the embarrassing mom. I know that's going to happen because it happens to everybody. I'm going to get the eye roll and the, oh, mom. But right now I'm the cool mom where he goes, mom, can you come into my school dressed like Maleficent? So he just loves the costumes, and he's so used to it. I'll come out of the bathroom wearing an outfit that I feel like would probably scare a normal child. I've got contacts in and a wig, and he just looks at me and says, oh, hi, mommy.
Well, he knows it's you.
He does, but I don't know, sometimes he'll look up and I can see he's startled for just half a second because, you know, nobody expects to turn around and just see a random person standing in your living room. And then he's, oh, hi, mommy.
And does his friends react weird to you when you come in wearing a costume? I'm sure he's playing sometimes when you do.
No, they love it. I for Halloween, my son asked me, he said, mommy, can you please come in dressed like Maleficent? I said, yes, baby. And I left off part of it because for Maleficent, I do the Angelina Jolie version. I have the big cheek prosthetics and the contacts, and, you know, I make my skin really, really pale like hers is. And I've had children be scared of me at conventions because the face is a bit much. It's a very alien-looking face.
Uh-huh.
So I just left that off. You know, I just went in with the staff and the gown and the headpiece. And the second I walked in the door, I just hear, oh, Maleficent! The kids were going nuts. And Soren's just sitting there going, that's my mommy. So right now I get to milk the cool mom thing.
I can see that because I was at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, and mm-hmm. you know how at San Diego they have all the outdoor activities, and they had a bunch of people from Walking Dead, you know, cosplayers from Walking Dead, mm-hmm. standing outside, and there was a family, and there were like two little girls, and I was walking with my brother one way, and they were coming in a different direction, and I swear to God, these two little girls, they just stopped dead. They were scared out of their minds, and they went to their parents and started crying into their stomachs. So I'm like, oh, my God. And they're like, it's okay. They're just play acting. It's okay. It's just a game. You know, they were trying to calm them down. But that's why I was asking, because Walking Dead's really scary. I mean, I can understand that. But how would you react if someone acted like that? I mean, that must be so horrible for the people performing, because I'm sure that they don't want to scare little children that bad.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I do like Bellatrix Lestrange and Alex Voss and Poison Ivy, and they're not really scary looking.
Uh-uh.
And Xena's not scary looking either. Kids don't know who I am, which I find that hilarious because I'll be standing around. And, you know, the kids want their photos with Batman and Spider-Man and everybody else. And then the parents want the photo with me. And they're trying to explain to their children who I am. The children don't care. They're like, no, that's Xena. She's from before you were born. And the kids are like, I don't care. So that amuses me. The only scary one I have is Maleficent, and it's just because the face is so alien. The older kids aren't scared of me. Like 8, 9, 10, they're like, oh, Maleficent, cool. But the little babies, little two-year-olds, the prosthetics and the contacts scare them. So a lot of times, you know, if I look in a direction and I see a child looking at me and they look afraid, I'll just avert my head or I'll, you know, kind of cover my face or look down or something so that they can't see the face.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to make babies cry. I mean, it's happened.
Yeah.
I think it only happened one time where I made a baby cry because she saw Maleficent, came walking over to me, and I turned and looked at her, and I guess she wasn't expecting the full prosthetics and contacts, and it startled her, and she started crying. I felt awful.
Oh.
I wanted to just take it off. I wanted to just pop the contacts out, standing right there in the middle of the hallway going, baby, no, I'm sorry.
How do they react to Bellatrix?
Most kids don't know who in the world Bellatrix is.
Really? With Harry Potter being so popular?
I guess when I say kids, I mean like under 10.
Oh.
In my head, like 11 and up is like in the teen range. The teenagers are like, yeah, Bellatrix. And, of course, adults are like, woohoo. But, yeah, kids, the little ones are just like, who? I don't, okay, go away. I want Spider-Man. Go away. Bring me a princess.
Or Belle or something.
Oh, yeah, bring me some kind of a princess. I don't know who you are. Go away.
Would you ever consider doing something like a Disney princess?
I would. That's actually on my, like, wish list of things to do. I would love to do Merida. I love Merida from Brave.
Uh-huh.
And so I would definitely do her. And I've had the Evil Queen, Regina, from Once Upon a Time. I've had a bunch of requests to do her. But her costumes are really complicated, so that's going to be
difficult.
A long time coming, because that's going to take a while to put together with my very limited sewing ability.
My favorite was always Belle because she read. She was a great reader, you know. So I thought, before her was, I think it was Snow White, but when I was a woman and Beauty and the Beast came out, I went, oh, I wish I grew up with her.
Yeah, I love Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Have you ever done Belle?
No, I haven't. I haven't, have I done any, I mean, other than Xena Warrior Princess, I haven't done any princesses. Not that I wouldn't, I just haven't yet.
That would be my favorite. I mean, my favorite, of course, is Xena. As I told you off the show, my cat's name for Xena. I mean, yeah, I'm a big fan of Xena.
You'd be surprised how many people come up to me at conventions when I'm dressed like Xena and go, oh, my God, Xena. And I turn around and go, hi. And they go, my dog's name's Xena. And that's their opening line to me. So a lot of people have dogs, cats, birds, rats, ferrets named Xena. I know this because
ferrets?
People tell me.
Ferrets and rats?
Yeah, evidently Xena is just a great name for anything. I met this one girl. She came up to me. And she looked mad, which I was like, oh, what did I do? She came up to me and she goes, hi. I'm like, hi. She goes, my mom's a Xena fan. I said, oh, good. Is your mom here? She goes, somewhere. I'm like, okay. And I really wasn't understanding where the attitude was coming from. And then she goes, my name's Lucy Renee. And I just started laughing.
Oh.
And I just gave her a hug. that just made my whole day.
That's hilarious.
My name's Lucy Renee. I'm like, oh, honey.
Well, we're down to the last minute and a half, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to let everybody know. Do you have any either online or personal appearances that are going to come up soon that you'd like somebody to come see, or do you have a play or any of your writing or anything that you'd like people to read?
I just have a bunch of stuff in the works right now, a bunch of different cosplays that I'm working on. I'm fixing the old ones. Yeah, and the next big convention that I'm attending is AwesomeCon in Washington, D.C., and some of my friends are flying in for it. We're going to have Xena, Gabrielle, Aphrodite, and Amazon. Who knows? We might have a Joxer and an Ares. We're going to try and put together a big group Xena cosplay for AwesomeCon. So if you're in the area for that, make sure you come, and if you're not, there will be tons of pictures, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Sounds like fun. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you. I'm glad I could be on.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.